Shall we turn together to the second book of Samuel and chapter 14, and we will read together verse 14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Two short readings from the New Testament. The first you will find in the Gospel to Luke, in chapter 9, verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and chief priests, and scribes, and be slain, and be raised again the third day. And finally, John's Gospel and chapter 3. Verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And we trust the Lord will bless to us these readings from his word. We must needs die. A dreadful reality. The Lord Jesus Christ said concerning himself prophetically that he must suffer, he must be slain, and he must be raised from the dead. Here we have an absolute necessity. But in John's Gospel in chapter 3 and verse 7, we have read together the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Something that was absolutely imperative if Nicodemus was going to see the kingdom. And it is something, my friend, which is absolutely essential if we are going to be in God's heaven. We must be born again. Now, we have not come here, dear friends, just to state gospel truths. While that is a tremendous privilege and something that we thank God for the opportunity of doing, but we do trust that as we read the Word of God, that the truth of God may come home to our hearts in the power of the Holy Spirit, that souls not saved may be convicted of their sin, led to repentance and to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we would allow the truth and the weight of these words to bear in upon our hearts, it would sober everyone in the company. Here we have this statement by the wise woman of Tekoa as she came in before King David to plead for Absalom. And she acknowledges, we must needs die. Dear friend, here is a truth that no one can deny. We have been reminded this evening of that time in the history of mankind when sin entered, and death has been the result of sin. For the wages of sin is death. To mankind, it's an absolute tragedy. I know that because it happens in every home, it comes to every family. There is not a nation on earth that are free from this awful enemy. I can tell you when we left our homeland and came to the land of Australia and to New Zealand and looked upon the fair country and the fair scene, and then on the hillsides we discovered cemeteries. It caused me to think soberly, to realize that there is no country, there is no land, there is no nation that is free from this terrible enemy. And it is a tragedy. It is only when it comes into my home and to your home that it really strikes our hearts with all its reality. When a loved one, when a dear one, when one we have whose presence and whose fellowship we have enjoyed is suddenly cut down and taken from us, and we realize something of the awful havoc that sin has wrought, and none are exempt. It comes to the highest in the land. It comes to the lowest. For the word of God says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Dear friends, I would like us to settle down in these meetings and face realities. Because so often, people live in a kind of a dream world. They kind of imagine we are going to be here forever. We look upon men, and they have been most successful in the business world. And I have looked upon some with deep sympathy. As I see a man of 80 years of age and more, and he's not satisfied. He's still grasping after that which he will never need, and that which he will never be able to enjoy. Never satisfied. And how sad to think that one of these days, the call is going to come to you, just as it will come to the speaker, if the Lord be not come. My dear friend, I wonder if that appointment were to come your way tonight, how would it be with your soul? Remember, we cannot escape it. We cannot say no when death comes. And for those who are younger, we may kind of feel, well, this is something for the old people to consider. But I want to tell you, dear friend, that not one of us have any guarantee how long we are going to be in this world. Time is earnest, passing by. Death is earnest, drawing nigh. Soon to meet eternity. Wilt thou never serious be? I trust that the truth of these things may come home to our hearts, and we may be prepared this evening to face up to the reality that we are not here to stay. Shortly we are going to have to leave this world to say goodbye to all that is near and dear to us and go out into the great forever. Go out to meet God. Go out to face eternity. I can tell you it must be a solemn moment in the individual's experience, if not saved, to come to the gates of death and realize I'm dying and I'm not saved. I'm going out to meet God and I have no preparation. My friend, I wonder, if the call comes to you, are you ready? Now, it may be that you are religious, and it may be that you are most honorable, and it may be, my friend, that you are most highly respected by your neighbors and those who know you. But tell me, have you got Christ? Have you made preparation for meeting God and facing eternity? Do you know your sins are forgiven? For this is the only thing that really matters when we come to leaving this world and meeting God and facing eternity. I'm not speaking about something that I have not in a measure experienced. There have been times in my little experience when we have come to the very gates of death. But oh, thank God, though we may have been close to leaving this world, we have had the confidence and the peace in our souls that all is well for the great eternity. I tell you, if I did not have that peace, friend, and if I did not have that assurance, I wouldn't rest tonight. I wouldn't sleep. Because within each bosom is a precious soul that is of more value than all the world. Ah, dear friend, you cannot afford to trifle with these things. You cannot afford to neglect this question. You cannot afford to put it off. Because to lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. But to lose your soul, oh, think of it, friend. To lose your soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. My friend, is it possible that there is one in this company and you are at risk this very night of losing your soul, of dying in your sins, and of perishing eternally? I want to tell you, if I were able to point my finger down and say, there is a boy, or there is a girl, or there is an older friend in the company, and they're not saved, and they'll never be saved, and they're going to spend eternal ages in conscious torment, in the blackness of darkness, I want to tell you, my friend, that everyone in this building would be moved to tears. And yet there is that solemn possibility that someone could be sitting in a gospel meeting, hearing the sweet strains of the gospel, hearing the wonderful provision that God has made in the person of His Son, hearing how they can obtain everlasting life and escape the judgment of God. And yet solemn to think that someone could miss it. Friend, we must needs die. In Luke's Gospel in chapter 9, we have read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken prophetically, when He says concerning Himself that He must suffer. He must suffer. Oh, let me tell you of the love of God in the gift of His Son. Let me tell you this evening of the wonderful provision that God has made, that you and I, guilty sinners, might escape the judgment of God and be in heaven throughout the countless ages of eternity. Before we could know the forgiveness of sins and the blessing of everlasting life and the assurance of a place in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ must suffer. He must suffer. Yeah, He must be slain. He must die. Is there no other way that God can deliver men and women from the awful consequences of their sins? Surely there must be some other way that men can know a place in heaven. We have been hearing of how our first parents, they disobeyed God. They sinned against God. They partook of the forbidden fruit. They were driven out from the presence of God. God had no option, dear friend, because God and sin cannot dwell together. But the heart of God yearned after His creature. He longed to bring him back. He longed to see, to deliver him and save him. But how can God, the Holy God, bring back the guilty sinner into His presence and into communion and fellowship with Himself? Oh, thank God again for the words of the wise woman. He hath devised means whereby His banished be not expelled from Him. I want to tell you, my friend, that infinite wisdom has devised means whereby guilty men and women can be saved. And this is the message we have come to preach. This is the message we have come to tell you, dear friend. But if God would provide that means of escape, His Son must suffer. The Lord Jesus Christ must die. The Christ of God must go to Calvary's hill. Oh, how terrible was our plight. Already quoted. None other could our place have taken, highest of the high go he. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. My friend, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came from yonder throne of glory down to the scene, went about doing good, but the purpose of his coming was to go to the cross. There was no other way, no other means, no other way, my friend, whereby God could provide salvation and bring the sinner back to himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he left yonder throne to die on a cross in agonies untold, to suffer and to bleed and to die, to lay down his life that you and I might be in heaven. Oh, thank God, he was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. His love led him to leave the throne and to come to earth. And he knew all that lay before him. He understood the cost. He understood the tremendous price that had to be paid. And yonder on dark Calvary's hill, my Savior died. What shame, what reproach, what agony, what sufferings were his. He bore it all in love unbounded, what none can know. He passed through death and gloriously confounded our every foe. My friend, I want you to come with me to the place called Calvary and see that scene by faith. Three crosses standing side by side, of broken law sign, two for their own transgressions died, the middle one for mine. I tell you, when the truth of this reached my heart on the 18th of December 1949, I was broken in repentance and led by faith to accept the Lord Jesus Christ alone as my Savior and as my substitute. Thank God he took the guilty sinner's place. He suffered in our stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Savior bled. Is it any wonder we sing at times, adore him, adore him. The glorious work is done. The Father will not punish him, punish me, 'twas laid upon his Son. 'Tis finished, cried his suffering soul, and I my title see. I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Thank God that by his death, he has devised means whereby his banished be not expelled from him. By the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation has been provided. Salvation is offered. And God, a holy God, can come out and justify a guilty sinner. Oh, what wonder, what a redemption, what a salvation. And my friend, that salvation can be yours this evening because the Savior died. Forgiveness of sins can be yours because my Savior died. He must suffer. He must be slain. Thank God he has suffered. He was slain. The Lord Jesus Christ has borne sin's penalty. And he has made a full provision that every man, woman, boy and girl who is prepared to come in repentance and receive of the provision that God offers in the person of his Son. Friend, you can know your sins forgiven tonight. Is there one in the meeting and you would like to be saved? Tell me, would you like to be sure of a place in heaven? Would you like to know with absolute certainty that your sins are forgiven and that all is well for eternity? And if death should come your way, you can say with a poet, it is well with my soul. I want to tell you, my friend, there's nothing on earth to compare with that. Nothing that the world can offer could compare with the blessing of sins forgiven and the assurance of everlasting life. Let me ask you again, would you like to have it? Would you like that assurance was yours tonight, friend? It can be yours if only you are prepared to come. Come just as you are with all your sin. As we often sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Dear friend, you don't have to wait until you grow better. You don't have to wait until you become more anxious. You don't have to wait for another gospel meeting. But come tonight. Come to Christ with all your sin. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. He's able to save you, my friend. And he's able to keep you. And he's ready at this moment to receive you. If only you will come. If you could only understand the heart of my Savior, who desires to bless you with a greater interest in your soul, friend, than anyone in this meeting. And I know there are those in this company, and they are praying. And they have a deep interest in your soul, and they'd love to see you saved. Some would possibly give all that they possess just to know for sure that you would be in heaven. But with all their interest and all their love, I want to tell you there is one who loves you more and who desires your blessing more than anyone else. How do I know? He went to the cross to die that you might be in heaven. Then will you not trust him? Will you not accept him? Will you not receive him? Oh, to think that God offers guilty sons and daughters of Adam's race everlasting life as a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And God is offering everlasting life as a free gift to the repentant sinner. You say, how can I obtain it? How can it be mine? My friend, that salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life can be yours this very night, if only you accept Christ. To as many as received him. That's John 1. John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And God has made the way of salvation clear and plain. That each one in the company, that every man and woman, might avail themselves of this great salvation. I want to tell you, dear friend, the speaker pressed in as a lad in early teens. Why not press in this evening? Why not put in your plea? Why not be prepared to acknowledge your need? Acknowledge you're a sinner. Acknowledge, dear friend, that your helplessness to attain salvation by any efforts of your own. Acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior, mighty to save. Friend, he's able to save, able to deliver, able to break the power of sin in that life of yours, if only you will trust him. That's all he asks you to do. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.